Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastoma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 70. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, chapter 6, How to Discharge Devotional Service. The next important items are as follows. 1. One should decorate the body with tilak, which is the sign of the Vaishnavas. The idea is that as soon as a person sees these marks on the body of the Vaishnava, he will immediately remember Krishna, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna. Lord Chaitanya said that a Vaishnava is he who, when seen, reminds one of Krishna. Therefore, it is essential that a Vaishnava mark his body in tilak to remind others of Krishna. So that's why we're wearing what we wear and the tilak and everything. One, we remember Krishna, and others remember Krishna. So this idea of fitting in and everything like that is that's what's going to make everything work very nicely, but then the problem is what's going to make people remember Krishna? Right? That's the thing. You know, because otherwise, before it was, you saw the devotees dressed how they were, everyone, Hare Krishna, like they would say stuff. Now they think we're Buddhists. Right? Because the Hare Krishnas have fit in so well, now only the Buddhists stand out, because they don't change their dress, they still look the same. Okay. 2. In marking such tilak, sometimes one may write Hare Krishna on the body. Right? You know, special occasions or anything like that, then they write the names of the Lord like that. In marking, okay. 3. One should accept flowers and garlands that have been offered to the deity and the spiritual master and put them on one's body. 4. One should learn to dance before the deity. 5. One should learn to bow down immediately upon seeing the deity or the spiritual master. 6. As soon as one visits the temple of Lord Krishna, one must stand up. 7. When the deity is being borne for a stroll in the street, a devotee should immediately follow the procession. In this connection, it may be noted that in India, especially in Vishnu temples, the system is that apart from the big deity, who is permanently situated in the main area of the temple, there's a set of smaller deities which are taken in procession in the evening. In some temples, it is the custom to hold a big procession in the evening with a band playing and nice big umbrella over the deities, who sit on decorated throws on the cart or palanquin, which is carried by devotees. The deities come out into the street and travel in the neighborhood, while the people of the neighborhood come out to offer prasad. Right? So it's about the devotees and all that. Either the cart's there and the devotees are pulling, you know, like that, or then it's a palanquin that the devotees are carrying, like that. So then, you know, you even see is that if it's a boat festival, if it's a boat and devotees are manning the boat, like that. So that's the actual idea, is that service and that. Just to have the deities on a boat that's remote controlled, so they go around, so there's no devotees getting in the way of our darshan of the deities, because you wouldn't want that, right? The Lord and the devotees is kind of like, come on. And so then you have to be, you know, that's, it misses the point. Because it's not like Krishna is impressed by our technology. Or that he likes to just be, you know, himself, and it's just him without the devotees. You understand? So what we always see is that they always have these arrangements that then the devotees are there. Does that make sense? And so you see it. You see it in the Lord's pastimes, Krishna with the gopis. Right, like that, and anything else, it's always, they always do. Either it's, like, I think it's, I'm not sure, but I think in Puri and Narendra Sarovar, it's not so deep, so the devotees stand in the water. And by that, then they guide the boat. So there's no one on the boat, but they're all next to the boat and guiding it and everything like that. In others, where it's deeper water, the devotees are on the boat. Does that make sense? So it's about the Lord and the devotees. Right? Because that's what the Prabhupada said. Otherwise, you know, how do you say? The palanquin, which is carried by devotees. Or devotees, if they're on an elephant, then there's devotees on the elephant. So the Lord's not alone. The deities come out into the street and travel in the neighborhood while the people of the neighborhood come out to offer prasad. The residents of the neighborhood all follow the procession, so it is a very nice scene. Right? You see, it's like when the elephant procession goes, or that, devotees go around, devotees come out, they make offerings and all that, so it's a very, it's a standard thing. It's a nice, you know, kirtan and that. When the deity is coming out, the servitors in the temple put forward the daily accounts before them. So much was the collection, so much was the expenditure. The whole idea is that the deity is considered to be the proprietor of the whole establishment. And all the priests and the people taking care of the temple are considered to be the servants of the deity. This system is very, very old and is still followed. Right? So, also, I'm not sure how often they do, but they have the deity report and then the different departments and all that. And they say things before the deities, what's happening. Yeah. Like that. They do every day. Yeah, some do every week, or some do, you know, whatever it is. They'll have something that they do.
Now,
do you have to? Yeah, we used to do here in Mayapur. We used to do it on a weekly basis. I'm not sure how often it's done now. They do it at Rath Yatra time. Okay, because they've gone out, and so then they sell everything. Okay. Okay. So therefore, it's mentioned here that when the deity is on stroll, the people should follow behind. 8. A devotee must visit a Vishnu temple at least once or twice every day, morning and evening. In Vrindavan, this system is followed very strictly. All the devotees in town go every morning and evening to visit the different temples. Like sometimes you see, if you see that you're going from temple to temple, you know, for darshan like that, but there's people who are moving very fast. You know, but they don't look like they're from Delhi, right? They look like they're in Vrindavan. They're going fast because what they do is in that time they can catch the darshan of all the seven temples. Like that. Because there's certain times when you can actually do it, but you have to be quick. You can't stop and talk. That's why they're not really into stopping and talking like that. You know, if you ask them something, they'll give you an answer and then keep walking. So it's a system they do very. Or there's one temple you go to and you always go to that, or you know, whatever. It's very, very much up to the individual. All the temples go in town every morning and evening to visit different temples. Therefore, during these times, there are considerable crowds all over the city. There are about 5,000 temples in Vrindavan city. Of course, it is not possible to visit all the temples, but there are at least one dozen very big and important temples which were started by the Goswamis and which should be visited. 9. One must circumambulate the temple building at least 3 times. In every temple, there is an arrangement to go around the temple at least 3 times. Like you see in India, they're built that way so you can go around where the deities are. But it used to be in the West, where they didn't have that arrangement, they would actually go around the block. You know, block or half block, depending on what was the construction of the place. And that, so in the morning after Mangalarti, while they're chanting, then they'd all just walk around, you know, go 3 times around the block. Like that. I'm not sure if that's still practiced, but... Some devotees go around more than 3 times, 10 times, 15 times, according to their vows. The Goswamis used to circumambulate Govardhan Hill. One should also circumambulate the whole Vrindavan area. So that's also.
There is one of these, like, in South India, you ask a desire to Lord Balaji, when it is fulfilled, you have to circumambulate 108 times.
Wow, 108. But is that in Dandavats, or is that in... So that's not the rolling one. Okay.
The rolling one also sometimes.
But that's not 108. That's just one time. Yeah, yeah.
3 times or 1 time.
3 or 1. That's generally they go into the pond, right? They can dip, and then while they're wet, they roll around.
I'm not really sure. Anga Pitta. Means, yeah. So after putting in the sound system, that is
the they go around. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we do dandabat, so you stand up, then you do the dandabat, then you put your rock, or whatever it is, then you stand up, and then you go again. But there they roll sideways. So they're full dandabat, but they're rolling sideways, so they actually just roll. So it's not necessarily easier, it's just their custom. As you were saying, that's the tradition there.
But rolling like that?
Rolling like that, yeah.
Good for
sport. Sorry?
It is good as a sport. As a sport.
You feel it after a while. You end up quite bruised. Actually. 10. One must worship the deity in the temple according to the regular principles. Right? You don't make things up. Offering artik and prasad according to the deity, decorating the deity, etc. These things must be observed regularly. 11. One must render personal service to the deities. That means you're doing something that you are, you know, taking care of. Like you see, is that Maharaj Pratyabhudra come and sweep the different personalities. They'd all come and do some personal service. You know, I say Ambarish Maharaj would come do service. Everybody would do service. Twelve. One must sing. 13. One must perform Sankirtana. 14. One must chant. 15. One must offer prayers. 16. One must recite notable prayers. So you're offering prayers means you're from your own words, like your own heartfelt prayers. And then one must recite notable prayers means the prayers of the acharyas. Because they know what to pray for. So you do that, then you get the Lord's mercy, and then based on that, then the understanding, then you offer your prayers. You know. 17. One must taste Mahaprasadam, food from the very plate offered before the deities. 18. One must drink Charinamrita, water from the bathing of the deities, which is offered to guests. 19. One must smell the incense and flowers offered to the deity. 20. One must touch the lotus feet of the deity. 21. One must see the deity. That's why you have the shatari.
Yes.
You know, it's like Nrisimhadeva that comes out because then the lotus feet of the Lord is touched on your head. Because it says this rule that only pujaris can actually do that.
Yes.
So then that one devotee, he prayed to the Lord that everybody would have that opportunity. And so then the shatari manifests. You know, as you see on top is the Lord's shoes. It always sits there, and then when the guests come, they put it on the devotee's head.
So much you can do for any deity.
The shatari
is only for Vishnu.
Yeah, yeah. You don't see it for Sri in that they don't have. Do they have?
Sri.
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody does. For all the Vishnu. Only Vishnu temples.
And let's say down at Lakshmi's temple. There's no shatari. Yeah, it means if they're two are together, then they'll be. It's only for Vishnu.
But here we do only for Nrisimhadeva.
Yes.
Krishna.
Yes. It means you can technically, but you know.
I puja it then from the platform for
Marjorie. Yeah, it's a different design. It's meant for darshan and floods. You see, as Ganga Devi, she come up, when she touches Nrisimha Dev, then she goes back to him.
Yeah.
So, it works. 21. One must see the deity with great devotion. 22. One must offer aratrika at different times. 23. One must hear about the Lord and his pastimes from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and similar books. 24. One must pray to the deity for his mercy. 25. One should remember the deity. 26. One should meditate upon the deity. 27. One should render some voluntary service. 28. One should, like it says, personal service means you personally do. Then it says voluntary service means things that you know. you agree to do. 28. One should think of the Lord as one's friend. 29. One should offer everything to the Lord. 30. One should offer a favorite article, such as food or a garment. 31. One should take all kinds of risk and perform all endeavors for Krishna's benefit. 32. Yeah, for Krishna's benefit. You know, so even like before, you said the dressing and all that, then there's a risk. Somebody may say something funny, but you're willing to take that risk for Krishna.
Can you say
Maharaj
also preaching in that category?
Yeah, taking that risk, you know, also doing, you know, taking up some responsibility, you know, in the deity worship or, you know, something like that. So this says, it means, it's not that it's not like a gambling risk. That's why it said before, don't build big temples and all that. It means if you have the money, you have the means, you're young enough, then you go for it. But when you're older and you don't have any money, don't start a big project. Okay. Because that's beyond just this kind of a risk, meaning that you're doing something and it may sometimes work nicely, may sometimes not work nicely. That's the risk. Right?
Yes. It is mentioning like in mode of goodness, you just want to be peaceful, stable, to get over that rather than to perform over endeavor.
Yeah, because that would take a bit of the mode of passion, unless you have the facility.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like Ambarish Prabhu. He may be older, but the time frame of building the temple is not too there, and he has the money, and he has ways to, you know, encourage others to give. You know, you give that much money, it's easier to encourage others to give money, right? So like that, then it's not an over endeavor. Does that make sense? But if you don't have any facility and you want to build this big temple, then you'll just be building the temple and collecting and doing that and managing. Then where was going to be all the devotion and all those kind of things? So it gets distracted.
Many times they build a temple. After they build a temple, there are no funds to do anything.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, that's the thing. So you have to arrange it that it can be taken care of nicely. You know, so it all goes. In every condition, one should be a surrendered soul. 33, one should pour water on the Tulsi tree. 34, one should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam and similar literature. So we see here it comes twice. We hear about pastimes about the Lord. And here we should regularly hear Srimad Bhagavatam and similar literature. 35, one should live in a sacred place like Mathura. So many times these five have been mentioned in different ways before that, but then it specifically lists them. You know, because just one should, in other words, these should be practiced. One should live, 35, one should live in a sacred place like Mathura, Vrindavan, or Dwarka. 36, one should offer service to Vaishnavas, devotees. 37, one should arrange one's devotional service according to one's means. 38, in the month of Kartik, October and November, one should make arrangements for special services. Right? So the idea is that Kartik, Akadasi, you do your festivals, you do something more. Right? Like that. You're always doing your regular thing, but at that time you do a little bit more, like extra chanting or reading or other, you know, some kind of devotional activity. Right? Suddenly, so that doesn't mean during that month you make more investment in your business. So, you know, you do that in a different month. Right?
That is why the Adhika Mas is called Mala Mas. The Adhika Mas, no material benefit to you.
Yes, it does. During Janmashtami, the time of Krishna's appearance in this world, one should observe a special service. Right? So that means Janmashtami or any other festival. So I mean, Janmashtami is the biggest, so that means like this. So that you have the month of Vratas, then here is that on the day, then you try to do something very nice, something special. 40, one should do whatever is done with great care and devotion for the deity, right? Shouldn't be just try to do quick or this or that. 41, one should relish the pleasure of Bhagavatam reading among devotees and not among outsiders. Right? 42, so that means the devotees should be reading Bhagavatam, not going to the outside professional readers and like that. 42, one should associate with devotees who are considered more advanced. 43, one should chant the holy name of the Lord. 44, one should live in the jurisdiction of Mathura. See, so they've been mentioned and then mentioned again. So, just to make sure. One, 2, 93 through 96. The last five items are mentioned previously. Were mentioned. They have been again mentioned to point out their superiority among all angas. Thus, 64 methods of worship involving the body, senses, and internal organ have been presented sequentially, some being separate items, some containing additional items within them. Right? So, separate items. Some of them, on their own, they're there. Some of them are part of a bigger item. Right? Like offering artik is part of the worship of the deity. Next, examples of each item will be cited according to traditional authority. Srila Prabhupada. Now the total regulative principles come to an aggregate of 64 items. As we have mentioned, the first are the primary 10 regulative principles. Then come the secondary 10 regulative principles, and added to these are 44 other activities. So altogether there are 64 items for discharging the regulative practice of devotional service. Out of these 64 items, 5 items, namely worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating among the devotees, Sankirtana, and living in Mathura, are very important. Yeah, so we see is that sometimes it's mentioned as hearing, reading Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. And sometimes it just says hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes. Right? Because it's just the same thing being mentioned, but when it's mentioned each time, one is saying it's Bhagavatam, Gita, and similar books. Right? The other one is you should hear, you know, regularly hear. And then this one is you should hear, you should relish this in the association of devotees. Yes. So any of them being quoted, it's the same. Does that make sense? So sometimes you see it's mentioned just on its own. Hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Like here. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. But sometimes Prabhupada says hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees.
Yes.
Like that. Yes.
It can be seen as like the first one as a sangha, then second one you're doing regularly as an abhidaya practice.
Yes. 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 You could. Yes.
Imagine you say hearing means also reading.
Yes, contemplating, you know, practicing, like that. Yeah, it means all that. Because that's what he says. Here he's just giving the basic principle, and then all the detail that goes along with it, that will be, one, explained, you know, now after. And also just, you know, in other places, these things, details are given. Okay. Among these five items, namely worshipping the deity, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, associating among the devotees, Sankirtan, and living in Mathura, are very important. The 64 items of devotional service should include all of our activities of body, mind, and speech. Because he says this, all these are activities that do engage that. As stated in the beginning, the regulative principle of devotional service enjoins that all of our senses must be employed in the service of the Lord. Exactly how they can be thus employed is described in the above 64 items, right? Because we say body, mind, and words should be engaged. This explains how it's done. Now Srila Rupa Goswami will give evidence from different scriptures supporting the authenticity of many of these points. Right? Because he's given these 64, so now he'll explain, give the authority on where they come from, the various literatures, and why these are important, you know, why they're among the 64. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, commentary. These are the 64 types of worship involving the body, senses, and internal organ. Some items, such as surrendering to the feet of Guru, should be considered as single items with no divisions. Others, such as deity worship and kirtan, have many internal divisions. Footnote 26. As explained later, there are guna kirtan, lila kirtan, as well as nama kirtan. Like musical works, these are often divided up into parts. Those are considered as one anga from considering the whole. Though one can find many angas within deity worship or other items, they can also be considered as a whole unit and regarded as one item. So deity worship can be considered one anga. because it's complete in itself. It may have details, but they're all part of just that worship. Right? So. Thus, there's no contradiction in counting 64 items only. Right? So you can see as those ones, all the different aspects are there, they can be counted together. So you'll see as those five items, they all come together, everything's within those five. Same time, those five can come out and be the 44. Same time, they also have the 10, the first 20, like this. So these are all the things you should do in devotional service. Footnote 27. Lord Krishna replied, because all material elements are present everywhere, it is reasonable that different learned Brahmins have analyzed them in different ways. All such philosophers spoke under the shelter of my mystic potency, and thus they could say anything without contradicting the truth. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.4. So there are different approaches like that. But the point is they're all saying the same thing. Does that make sense? Just like Tulsi, worship watering, you must water Tulsi. So then in one form of the five made items, they do take hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees and make that one item. And then the fifth item is watering, worshipping Tulsi. Right? Does that make sense? Or worshipping Tulsi is part of worshipping the deity. So if you're worshipping the deity, you're worshipping Tulsi. And so, and then you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, then the association of devotees. It just depends on what you want to bring out. So sometimes you see both these ways. So that's the point that Krishna's making, is that all these, since Krishna's in everything, therefore all these different ways can be seen. They're all seen under authority. We don't make up our own. We just follow what the acharyas have done. So there is no contradiction. Chapter 7, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, evidence regarding devotional principles. So Rupa Goswami said now he'd give evidence, so now we start the evidence. So chapter 6 was the list of the 64, and now for many chapters he'll give the evidence on and discuss each of the 64 items. Or, you know, a group or like that, where they go together. 1.2.97. Taking shelter of the lotus feet of Guru, verse 74, from the 11th canto. Verse 74 means his 74. Okay. Therefore, any person who seriously desires real happiness must seek a spiritual master who is conversant with the bhakti scriptures, accomplished in hearing and chanting about the Lord, and fully tranquil. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.21. So, who seriously desires real happiness, then you have to have a seek a spiritual master who is conversant with the bhakti scriptures, right? And who is practicing that. Right? If you're looking for temporary material happiness, then you approach whatever guru you think is going to work for you. Right? Does that make sense? So that's why you have so many mundane gurus. You know, you have your business guru, you have your... I remember once we were driving in the car, and I think we were going to somewhere in Krishnagar, and the driver suddenly stopped the car, pulled over to the side, stopped the car, got out of the car. I wonder what's happening. You know, you guys got to go to the bathroom, or, you know, saw his favorite tea shop, or, you know, what's going on. Then you see him go out, and there was some older guy there, and he goes over to him and sees him, goes up, you know, like that. There's a few, you know, little interaction. He touches his feet a little bit more, and then he comes back and gets in the car. We ask, who's that? He says, he's my driving guru. Yes. So if you want, seriously want real happiness, then you get a spiritual master who knows about the bhakti scriptures. But otherwise, yes, you should respect all. Srila Prabhupada. Accepting the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd chapter, verse 21, Prabhuda tells Maharaj Nimi, quote, my dear king, please know for certain that in the material world there is no happiness. It is simply a mistake to think that there is happiness here, because this place is full of nothing but miserable conditions. Right? That the jiva wants to be happy, that's natural. But that you're going to find it here, that's not. Right? Yeah. Any person who is seriously desirous of achieving real happiness must seek out a bona fide spiritual master and take shelter of him by initiation. The qualification of a spiritual master is that he must have realized the conclusion of the scriptures by deliberation and arguments, and thus be able to convince others of these conclusions. Right? Because if he can't convince you, then what's the point? You come up with arguments and he doesn't have anything to say. So, such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Godhead, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. Everyone should try to find a bona fide spiritual master in order to fulfill his mission of life, which is to transfer himself to the plane of spiritual bliss. So we see here is that the whole point of the initiation is the aspect of siksha. So you have to seek out devotees who can give siksha. Does that make sense? Like that. So that's why as you have siksha, then when you get very serious, then you take initiation. So in that when you have siksha, you have so many siksha gurus. Then you take initiation. Then that siksha from the diksha guru, from the siksha gurus continues. So it's all about siksha, right? So the diksha just means you're serious about the instructions. That's it. The purport is that one should not accept as a spiritual master someone who is fool number one, who has no direction according to the scriptural injunctions, whose character is doubtful, who does not follow the principles of devotional service, who has not conquered the influence of the six sense-gratifying agents. The six agents of sense gratification, so this is from Upadeshamrita, are the tongue, the genitals, the belly, anger, the mind, and words. Anyone who has practiced controlling these six is permitted to make disciples all over the world. To accept such a spiritual master is the crucial point for advancement in spiritual life. One who is fortunate enough to come under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master is sure to traverse the path of spiritual salvation without any doubt. Right? So, the whole point is now what to speak, how to know what's essential and everything like that, because one has to have deliberated the scriptures and all those things. So, for us, then, when you're in Kali Yuga, then Lord Chaitanya makes it easy. Means each sampradaya, they have their founder Acharya. Then by following the founder Acharya, that instructions, then you bring yourself in line with those. So you learn those, you deliberate those, you convince others of those, you practice those. Does that make sense? Then it makes it work very, very easy. Okay? Yeah. Yeah, so here it says, one is fortunate enough to come under the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, sure to traverse the path of spiritual salvation without any doubt. So they'll naturally come to that transcendental position. So without a doubt, that's just because that's the natural thing for the living entity to be doing. 1.2.98. Acquiring knowledge after initiation, verse 74, also from the 11th canto. Accepting the bona fide spiritual master as one's life and soul and worshipable deity, the disciple should learn from him the process of pure bhakti by sincere service. By that pure bhakti, the Lord, the Supreme Soul, will be satisfied and give himself to that devotee, right? Because our relationship with Krishna is through the devotees. So unless we can surrender to the devotees, then Krishna won't take it very seriously. Because your surrender to him is surrendering to the devotees, following how they're surrendered to Krishna. In other words, they've surrendered to Krishna. We can surrender to them and assist them in their service to Krishna. Does that make sense? That's then how it works. So someone is doing that, that becomes serious. Right? It's just like, let us say, the sun is there, and so then there's naturally that relationship. So it's very nice. Then, with time, then there's the grandson. Right? And so then that relation is very nice. Why? Because now it's the son's son. But now if the grandson just wanted to directly interact with the grandfather, and claiming that now he's the son, not the grandson, it doesn't have as much taste. The son's there. He does that stuff. The grandson, that's a different taste. Does that make sense? So therefore, if we're not surrendered to the devotees, then the taste of the Krishna and the devotees is already there. Now it extends that by us being the devotees of the devotees. Then that's what pleases Krishna. Okay? Srimad Bhagavatam 11.3.22, Srila Prabhupada. accepting initiation from the spiritual master, and receiving instructions from him. Sage Prabuddha continued to speak to the king as follows. My dear king, a disciple has to accept the spiritual master not only as spiritual master, but also as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Supersoul. In other words, the disciple should accept the spiritual master as God, because he is the external manifestation of Krishna. This is confirmed in every scripture, and a disciple should accept the spiritual master as such. One should learn Srimad Bhagavatam seriously and with all respect and veneration for the spiritual master. Hearing and speaking Srimad Bhagavatam is the religious process which elevates one to the platform of serving and loving the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, here is who is this? Prabuddha is explained to Maharaj Nimi that you need to hear Srimad Bhagavatam in the line of Parampara under the spiritual master. And by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam that way, that's how you're going to develop one to loving service to Krishna. Right? So it's already understood that the Bhagavatam is the essence of the Vedic literatures. Right? The attitude of the disciple should be to satisfy the bona fide spiritual master. Then it will be very easy for him to understand spiritual knowledge. Right? So it's about pleasing the spiritual master, not about oneself. Remember one spiritual master, very kind. That's the difficulty. Sometimes they're very kind. Then you have all these wild characters like that. And so this one spiritual master, he has a servant. He's a young boy. Let's see. Not sure how old he was. Maybe early teens or something like that. Super intelligent, super qualified. So he could do all the service. You know, he could do the service that would actually take many people to do. You know, many adults to do. He was so smart. But at the same time, he expected certain emotional input like that. I remember once they were going into Calcutta or something for some work, a program like that, and he freaked out about something like that. And, you know, unless his spiritual master would agree to it, he was going to get out of the car. And the car was moving. They're going down the road. You know, it's an ambassador. But, you know, they'd be going, you know, 60, you know, kilometers an hour, an ambassador, you know. You think it's going to rattle apart. I mean, well, actually, it rattles apart at 80. But, you know, 60, you're starting to notice. But he was opened the door and was going to get out. Like that, and then the spiritual has to deal so much, and that went on for months and months and months till we finally convinced him that maybe he should get someone else as a servant, because this guy's driving him crazy. You understand? So that's the thing, you're trying to please the spiritual master, not just you're doing this service because it pleases you. And then you get that. Does that make sense? So that's the then it will be very easy to understand spiritual knowledge, right? Because otherwise it's about oneself, and then one that, you know, yes, it is called self-realization, but you want to get beyond, you want to get to the spiritual platform of it, right?
Self-absorption.
Sorry?
Self-absorption.
Yes, yes, there's a difference, right? Yes, okay. This is confirmed in the Vedas, and Rupa Goswami will further explain that for a person who has unflinching faith in God and the spiritual master, everything becomes revealed very easily. Right, so Rupa Goswami explained that. I'm not sure where that's from, but I think it's a famous verse. Like that. Yeah. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary.
Yes.
Yes, that one.
Yes. All the inputs of the Vedic.
Yes. So it's if you have that faith in Guru and in Krishna, then the imports of the Vedic knowledge will be revealed. Like that. Because the point is Krishna's revealing it. So it's up to Krishna. You please him, then it's revealed. You have that faith. But it's about that faith of the transcendental. Does that make sense? You know, so it's just like, how you say? I mentioned that story of Burijan Prabhu. He would go and preach in some new areas and all that. And the devotees there, the nature of that community there is very sentimental. Like that, very sentimental, mystical, this kind of things, you know, alternative, you know, it's anything like that. So, you know, he went there the first time and you know, just being pleasant and being nice and that, you know, people tell him he'd smile and this like that. Then immediately they'd be asking him that they, you know, he's their eternal guru because they smiled at them. You know, that's the evidence, you know, that's the thing, he's revealed, he's like this and that. So, then he understood, okay. So then when he'd go back, then he'd just be really sober all the time. You know, he'd never smile at anybody. You know? And then if somebody did ask him, he says, well, sorry, I can't this time. I can't because my wife told me I can't initiate any disciples. You know, so immediately, oh, okay. And then they just drop it. You know, like, who wants to, you know, I, you know, controlled by his wife. You know, forget it. You know. But it was very serious. He told another funny one, just on the same thing, so you understand the seriousness here. That one devotee said, you know, he wanted initiation, said no. And he was asking, he just kept saying no. You know, said, you know, sometime in the future, no, never. Just not, it's not happening. And then, you know, but that was it. So then he stopped there. Someone else kept harassing for more. Kept going and going and going till one point he says, okay, then let's see. Let's see how it goes. Maybe after 40 years or 50 years. And he said something ridiculous time period. You know, not 5 years, 10 years or 20. He said like 40 or 50 years. And then that devotee was so happy. You know, okay, 50 years, okay, I'll wait. You know, he said, uh-oh. And then the first devotee who he said no to heard about it. Hey, why is it you said no to me and you told him after 50 years? This is not fair. So when he heard I was going there, I said, any advice? He says, yes, don't smile at anybody. Nothing. Like that. So that's the whole point. It's this faith in the guru because of the spiritual, not because of this social, emotional, and sentimental, and all that kind of stuff. Does that make sense? That's the reason there's spiritual master, because it's called spiritual master.
Like one of the Prabhupada disciples shared that when they first went to Germany, Prabhupada is coming to Germany, he straight away went to embassy and said, my spiritual master is coming. So you need to give some place to stay. They didn't understand what it meant by spiritual master at all. But just because of their faith in their spiritual master, they were very important personalities. So Prabhupada stayed in embassy.
Means German or in
Germany.
Really? German embassy. That's far out. First time he came. Okay.
It's like nobody understands anything but these people.
That may have been Shivananda. Because he was the first one to go there. Oh, it's Prithupadok. Okay. That's so far out. That's the point we meant before. The conviction, that's what impresses people. If you're convinced in that, like you said before, there was this thing came up. This was a long time back. It would have been in the 90s. And the Mormons, they held their yearly conference. They have like their kind of GDC and all that. And so they have their conference, and they amongst all the leaders, and they discuss, you know, any current issues and considerations and all that, because, you know, they have within, you know, their own mission, but they also have, you know, the changing of society around them and how that's affecting and all this and that. So then in that, then it came up, I'm not sure it may have been about, what was the discussion? It was something about ladies. Because then that was, you know, the women's liberation movement has really gotten some, you know, strong in that time. And so it was something in connection with that, some aspect of women's liberation, on whether they should consider making adjustments in their tradition. Because otherwise, they would just follow the tradition how they've been following it since their founder and whenever it was, you know, hundreds of years ago, kind of established it. And so they were just following that. It means their cloth and that and their food and all, but just their culture and how they dealt and in the church and things like that. And so after deliberating very nicely, they just said, no, this is our tradition, we're sticking with it. It works, we don't want to change it. So the person writing the article, because this was an article that came out in California, right, so they're automatically a liberal state, you know. And the journalist who was writing was a woman. Right? So, you know, doubly establishes. And she said, at the end of the thing, she said, I don't agree with their conclusion, but she said, I have to respect them, for despite everybody saying they have to change because it's the modern thing, that they're saying, no, this is how the tradition is, this is how the past is. It's worked for us and like this, and they stuck to that. She respected him for that. So that's the point. If you're convinced, you follow your tradition, you do, you know why you're doing it, you want to do it, and it'll affect. They may not want to do it, but you know. You know, we're not saying everybody has to do it. You know, it's like the Pope wears his far-out hat, and it's not expected anybody else is going to be wearing it. But he wears it anyway. You know, so it's not like, oh, but if you're there, then everybody will think, oh, I have to wear a Pope hat. No, no, they don't. Does that make sense? Yeah. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. The Guru is called Atma because he is as dear as the Self is. One should learn Bhagavat Dharma, Bhakti, from the Guru, who is worthy of worship like a deity, Daivata, and is as dear as oneself. By sincere service, Amayaya Anuvritya. The Lord, who is the real Atma, and who gives himself to the worshippers, is pleased by those acts of bhakti. Because when he sees that, because the devotees are dear to him, so when he sees the devotees being taken care of, worshipped, respected, and followed like that, then Krishna is pleased. Right? So that makes sense. 1-2-99. Serving the Guru with reverence, verse 74 from the 11th canto. Oh, verse 74.
Verse 74 is where all these angas
are mentioned. Okay.
Two further is given from the 11th canto.
Okay, and then he's giving evidence from the 11th canto, but it's to confirm what he is given in verse 74. One should know the Acharya as myself and never disrespect him in any way. One should not envy him, thinking him an ordinary man. For he is the representative of all the demigods. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:17:27. Right? So that's why then it's here. Prabhupada's given us the things, he's given us the information, the direction, then that's accepted. So we never disrespect him, we never do like this. Does that make sense? That's why we're very careful. If anybody makes, you know, snide comments about Prabhupada or snarky comments, then it's just not tolerated. In other words, they have a question, then they put it into some generic aspect. If they want to cast aspersions on Prabhupada, that they have to stop talking. Like that. Because it's just not done. Krishna doesn't accept it. You can say, no, but I want to know. But you'll never know if you have that attitude. Right? Yes.
Based on this very point, Madhvacharya thoroughly refutes the Mayavad conception. So when he got sannyas, the first day when he sat with his guru, and the first thing they open is Vedanta Sutra. So in that, one of the biggest Mayavadi sannyas is, he wrote his prayers, Mangalacharya, that because now we are Brahman, I offer obeisances to myself instead of anyone else. Then immediately he dismisses, saying, the Vedas says the spiritual master has to be respected. Yasya Devi, that verse he quotes and says, so how can he offer obeisances to himself? And there is no difference between Guru and Shishya. So the Guru should offer obeisances to Shishya, so why it is mentioned like this? And the Guru becomes very angry, he fasted for 2 days.
The Guru fasted for 2 days. That's angry. Especially in South India. So,
then he acts him, the Guru acts him.
Okay. That was that something Purna?
Yeah.
Ananda Purna. No, he's Ananda something. Ananda Tirtha is Bhattacharya's name.
After sannyas. Before sannyas, his name is...
Purna Pragya. Purna Pragya. Yes, Purna Pragya.
Purna Pragya, Achyuta Preacha. Achyuta Preacha is a Buddha.
Achyuta Preacha. Srila Prabhupada. Serving the spiritual master with faith and confidence. Right? So that's the one that Rupa Goswami gave. You can maybe even put colons after that.
The next one I put here after
that. Okay. Regarding accepting initiation from the spiritual master, In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 17th chapter, verse 27, it is stated by Lord Krishna, quote, "My dear Uddhava, the spiritual master must be accepted not only as my representative, but as my very self." It means the mood, like that. It means there's a difference, but he's saying in here the oneness is that mood.
Yes.
There's a difference because there's a spiritual master who's a devotee of Krishna, who's the Lord. He must never be considered on the same level with an ordinary human being. One should never be envious of the spiritual master. Right? So someone's spiritual master, that's what it is for them. Maybe they're not your spiritual master, so they don't have that position for you. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't respect the other person's respect of his spiritual master on that level. Does that make sense? Because otherwise you take, well, he's not respectable to me. Why are they respecting him? No, because that's the rule. One should never be envious of the spiritual master, as one may be envious of an ordinary man. The spiritual master should always be seen as the representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by serving the spiritual master, one is able to serve all the demigods. Right? So when you serve the spiritual master, serving Krishna, then all the demigods are already served. So then that aspect of you have to worship the demigods is one of the debts. It's already taken care of by the worship of the spiritual master. So that's why you don't need to worship Ganesh, this one, that one. It's all done by worshiping the spiritual master.
Now, here, Guru and Acharya can be the same meaning.
Sorry?
Guru and Acharya.
Guru, Acharya, because that means they're the Acharya for you, though there may be, you know, there's the founder Acharya, then there's, you know, other. Acharya means one who teaches by example. We tend to, how you say, categorize things and that, and it can only be in one way. Like this is a flower. So therefore that funny powder that you make bread out of can't be called flour, because this is a flour. No, but that's also flour. No, no, flour looks like this, not, it's not powder. Like that. You know, if you want to, you know, powder the flour, then you can do that, but then it's flour powder.
Yes.
You know, so like this, you know what I'm saying? We get this thing, so then you get this thing where Acharya can only be used in this way and that way. At the same time, it has its benefit, because then people just use it as they want. Like you have some devotees have used that they're the founder of, you know, how you say, New Vrindavan, the founder of ISKCOWP, you know, the International Society for Cow Protection, or the founder of this. And we don't use the word like that because of its respect for Prabhupada. Because that there is only one founder Acharya in the line, right? It means there's Ramanuja. It's not that Yuman Acharya is any less, or Nam Alwar, or any of them are any less respectable, but there's one person taking that role. So Prabhupada's that role. So using that founder, we are not going to use it in its ordinary sense, right? Because that's where we're getting it from. Because otherwise, how many people are using it in the contemporary world? And he's the founder of Gucci. You know, they don't say that, right? So we're using it only because Prabhupada uses it. So therefore, in that context, when Prabhupada says Acharya means one who teaches by example. So now the founder Acharya, he is an Acharya because that's what he's doing. Others who follow like that, then they're Acharyas. But they're still, you have to be able to tell the difference. Like that. Does that make sense? So what he means is, because it said before, is the spiritual master is also contemplating and practicing these things, right? Qualification of the spiritual master is they must have realized the conclusion of scriptures by deliberation and argument, and thus be able to convince others of these conclusions. Such great personalities who have taken shelter of the Supreme Lord, leaving aside all material considerations, are to be understood as bona fide spiritual masters. Right? So, And when it was practiced, you know, so it's like that. That's the meaning, is that they're talking about it, explaining it, and they're practicing it. That's the position. Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's why you'll see the word will be used in both ways. 1-2-100. Following the scriptural rules from verse 34, then evidence from Skanda Purana. One should follow the scriptural rules which give the highest benefit and are devoid of hardship, by which the previous devotees easily progressed. Srila Prabhupada, following in the footsteps of saintly devotees, persons. In the Skanda Puran is advised that a devotee follow the past acharyas and saintly persons, because by such following one can achieve the desired results with no chance of lamenting or being baffled in his progress. Right? So follow the scriptural rules which give the highest benefit. It means that the scriptural rules that give bhakti, and of bhakti, pure bhakti, and devoid of hardship. Right? It's not about the austerity in that. It's just those rules are there. So it's not that we accept, you know, we should go, you know, it's like, how you say? It's summertime, so then we build fires around and then sit out there in the middle of the day. We don't need to do that. Right? We go cook for Krishna. It's already hot enough, right? You know. So we just devoid of hardship. Hardship means because you don't see the connection to Krishna. Connected to Krishna, it's not a hardship. You perform your duties to please Krishna, then whatever difficulties are there, it's not a hardship. Right? And by which the previous devotees easily progressed. You see everybody else is following that, progressing, the stories are there, then that's what you do. Jiva Goswami's commentary. Sadhu Vartma, proper path, means, quote, the path composed of rules from the Shruti and other scriptures, end quote. So, what the acharyas, the rules from the Shruti and the Smriti that they have chosen and they have emphasized, that's the path we take. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.